from talking about transportation and health, they, like, what are you, why do you even have a job? I mean, like, what do you even do? Because Portland so often makes it onto the top 10 list for biking, walking, transit, all these things. So I think it's really important that we are talking about health and equity in this panel, because Portland is, it is all of those things. If you're me, if you're a white middle-class girl who can afford to live in the inner city, I have access to all of those really great things. But the reason I have a job is actually because I'm representative of the folks who have access to that in Portland, and there's a lot of people who don't. So this morning, I'd like to tell you a little bit of the story of how Upstream Public Health is promoting health and environmental justice through transportation policy. I'm going to talk a little bit about a few of the projects that we're working on and really highlight some of the success and some of the barriers that we've had, some of the lessons that we've learned, and I'm hoping that since this is early in the conference that you all will find me in the next couple of days and tell me about the work you're doing and what you've learned, because it's really hard, and I would love to sponge off anything that I can get from you guys. I have no relationships to disclose. For the first two projects that I'm going to talk about, my work was funded through the Communities Putting Prevention to Work grant from the CDC. Our local health department got that grant. And that fact right there posed some opportunities and some challenges. Because the health department was committed from the very beginning to this project, they've been really great about providing technical assistance, mapping to some of the partners who don't have that capacity, being willing to review reports. But at the same time, the health department staff who were working on this don't have any background in transportation and land use. And those of you who are doing this work know it's pretty complicated, these two things already, and then when you try to put them together, it can be really difficult. So we had to spend a lot of time at the front end of all these projects really building capacity within each other's organizations to be able to talk to each other. And so that was a really big challenge. We've had to rewrite our grant milestones a few times by explaining to the health department, oh, that's actually not possible. We legally can't ask the planners to do that, things like that. So two cities in our region, Portland and Gresham, are in the middle of updating their transportation system plans, which is the local transportation plan. It's generally updated every 4 to 5 years, but as is the case with the federal plan, sometimes it slips for several years. And they are the transportation plan for the next 20 years of investment. And they are they're typically updated to maintain compliance with our regional transportation plan, which we just updated in 2010. And this plan, it directly addressed health and equity and also had a lot of discussion about some of the things that we know indirectly affect health and equity. And generally, it's a much more solid framework for health, for public health promoting policies. In terms of equity, a lot of the concepts were very underdeveloped. And so we intend for our Communities Putting Prevention work at the local level to really help inform this next regional transportation plan. For example, in this 2010 plan, you can see some of the, we've got targets and performance measures, and you can see that some of them are very specific, right? I mean, we are going to be okay with a vehicle hours delay per person of, you know, an increase of 255%. It's a pretty specific performance target. When you get into equity, well, we don't really know. It's under development. And the methodology, it's being developed. And so the hope was that the CPPW work would really help develop some of these ideas. Sorry. So I'll talk a little bit about that work. So Gresham, their first and most recent transportation system plan was done in 2002. And like we found in Portland as well, there were a lot of really great public health promoting policies in here. They didn't explicitly talk about health, but we know that the policies that were in there were going to do a lot to support active transportation. Any discussion of equity was missing. So our first step was to do an informal survey, informal audit of the transportation system plan, and we wrote a briefing paper for the planners about opportunities to integrate health and equity, and that's the way we framed it. Opportunities in this transportation system plan that you can incorporate health and equity. And so we made recommendations for four big sections, and I'll just give you an example of each of those, but I can provide you with the whole paper if you're interested. So the system inventory and assessment part of the TSP, it describes the existing conditions from of all the transportation systems, from bicycle to freight, from transportation demand management to parking, and we identified opportunities in each one of these sections to really talk about the infrastructure and amenities that exist and break it down by access according to race, according to income, according to age. And another, which currently isn't done anywhere in the TSP, they don't get into any of those demographic categories. But two other small sections in the system inventory and assessment really stood out to us. It was aesthetic quality and street lighting, which they talked about for about a paragraph each. And so we identified the opportunity to really discuss the critical importance of these factors in making it more likely that a person is going to choose an active mode of transportation. You can talk to Rochelle about this afterwards, too, in terms of transportation enhancements. Like, one of the things we can do is have landscaping, which it turns out is critically important for making people feel comfortable walking and biking. Additionally, there are some other aesthetic quality and urban design issues that weren't addressed in the TSP at all, and so we provided some recommendations that they do that. And in some cases, and particularly with like older adults, talking about benches, talking about seating is actually going to make a really big difference in promoting those modes. The policies and strategies section of the TSP were very strong in favor of public health. They even discussed developing a feet-first system, which is kind of special. Gresham is a suburb of Portland. It's a very auto-oriented place, but they were already thinking about this. But one really important factor in their policies that was missing, had no attention at all, was climate change. So Gresham doesn't have they don't have a climate action plan like a lot of cities do, but the TSP update, it does provide them with an opportunity to get their transportation policies in line with our state and our regional climate goals and our greenhouse gas emissions goals. And we know that climate change is going to have a huge impact on health and on the vulnerable populations. The systems alternative section really focused on evaluating the different strategies for implementing the TSP, and we noticed that the performance measures that they used really focused on mobility, which is moving more cars faster. So obviously that's going to obscure a lot of health and equity impacts when that's how you're judging the success of your system. So one of our recommendations was to include information related to housing and transportation cost burden, for example. So this is a tool from the Center for Neighborhood Technology. If you haven't seen it, it's great. It's online. You punch in your area, and it will give you the housing and transportation burden. And we know that this is going to have huge health and equity impacts in communities, depending on how much money they have to spend for their daily needs. The system plans section describes the plans and the priority setting for each of the major systems kind of based on these other pieces, and it includes some of the more concrete factors like some of the broad design elements for the system. And here we recommended that they include the new NACTO bicycle guidelines, which had just been developed. And this was a really important place for public health to come in and talk, because in a suburban setting like this, where policies to promote bicycling can often be seen as anti-car instead of pro-option. People feel like their options are being taken away instead of given to them. It was really important for public health to be able to come in as a kind of a neutral partner and say, these are really great, and we should consider the small investment that it takes to make sure these are getting into the plan. So at the same time we were doing that, we were developing a set of our transportation health equity principles. And APHA was also developing these, their own set of principles at the same time. And I have a ton of copies to give out and would love to share them. We did these with the Transportation Health Equity Network, which we are very fortunate to have in Portland as an informal organization that we just get together and we chat about the work we're doing. And these are what we're using to guide our work in Portland. And so we were able to start with that Gresham briefing paper and these principles when we started working in Portland. In both Portland and Gresham, the city staffers gave us copies of the TSP to redline, which was really important to us. We had realized in the last few years in a strategic planning process in Portland that when we get to rewrite the language and hand it to them, a lot more of our changes go in than when we just give them suggestions. So if you can push this particular path, it's much more effective. And so as I mentioned, they have really good health supportive policies, but one of the things that the public health stakeholders kept asking was, how do you pick projects? How do you pick projects? Because no one could really answer that question for us. And the transportation staff in Portland were also really interested in developing some project criteria so that we could actually see how much weight was being given to health and how much weight was being given to equity. Even though the policy language was there, it was fuzzy to us. So we had a really hard time figuring out how to do this, but the Nashville Metropolitan Planning Organization turned out to be a great start for us. It's not a perfect fit. It's designed for a regional plan, and they have a different set of kind of goals and assumptions that go with their projects. But it was a good framework, and it was a success for Nashville, as far as we can tell. 70% of the projects in their regional transportation plan have active transportation elements now, compared to 2% in the plan before they had these criteria. So I won't show you the whole scoring criteria, but you can see they explicitly call out health, and they explicitly call out some of the vulnerable communities. And so it was really important to the transportation planners, too, that even though there's a number, there's some flexibility in there with these pluses and minuses, and that's one of the things they really needed to agree to do this, some flexibility in choosing projects. So from the start, the CPPW partners, like Upstream, we who were working on these local plans, we really intended to bring this back to the regional transportation plan. But we've also had the ability to start now. I'm on the Transportation Policy Alternatives Committee for our Metropolitan Planning Organization, which has mostly jurisdictional members, but a couple citizen members. They we're starting a regional active transportation plan. It has a bunch of public health stakeholders. We're planning a new light rail line right now, the Orange Line in the Southwest Corridor here. Metro did a health assessment on this transportation corridor, and they brought together a public health working group to look at their assessment. Did they ask the right questions? Two themes that I've really noticed is that the transportation professionals ask us, where are the health outcomes data for my plan area? And we say, well, we don't have that data. And then we say, but you don't need to talk about that data. We want you to talk about the things that you control, the health determinants that you're going to plan for, that you're going to build, that you're going to fund. And so this is kind of an interesting back and forth that's been happening in the Portland region a lot. It might be different in your area if you have access to better health data than we do. In all of these projects, we worked really closely with the agency staff, who are our grant partners. And another project that we're working on that looks very different, we have some funding from the Convergence Partnership to work with OPAL. They're an environmental justice organization in the region. And we're training leaders in their Bus Riders Unite group to analyze our regional transit agency's investment plan and training them to understand the connections between public health and public transit and between and the role that public transit has played in the civil rights movement. There have been some small victories for OPAL in the last year, and my work with them really highlighted for me the critical role that public health can play in these discussions, because there are times when the transit agency really feels villainized. They see the benefit of public health, but they feel very villainized by the advocates because they just want to create good service, and they want the advocates to work with them to find funding. They don't want the advocates to pick on them when they do something that the advocates don't like. And at the same time, the advocates, they don't feel like the transit agency is accountable to the public. This gentleman in the bow tie is on our board, and he's a physician for Kaiser Permanente, and he was testifying for one of OPAL's campaign goals at the TriMet board. Right now, because both groups see real value in examining the role of public health, it allows us to kind of translate across the lines, and if we can't get everyone on the same page, we can at least get them in the same book. We can at least get them like understanding that there is value in talking to each other because they both see public health as an ally instead of as an enemy. One last project that I'll mention is a sustainable transportation. It's now analysis and rating system. If you're familiar with LEED, it's like LEED, but for transportation projects and plans. We're developing a health, safety, and equity credit for this right now. I would love to talk to you about it more if you are interested in getting it going in your jurisdiction. Public health has helped develop credits, but is also working to help promote its use, sometimes offering it instead of health impact assessment as an option for jurisdictions. So a couple next steps for me, very big, daunting steps, include being careful what I wish for. We want to get involved. Now we're invited all the time. We can't possibly do it. So we're trying to take that briefing paper that we made and make it a tool to use for all transportation system plan updates in Oregon. That's our next step. Developing guidelines for making those transportation system plans accessible to advocates so that it's not just the legal document, but we know what we can do with it. And then we're going to be working on developing a land use credit for that system that I just mentioned. So thank you. I'm happy to answer some questions when we are all done.